2 Timothy 2, I'm going to read from verse 8 through to 26, but particularly focus on one verse from there. So 2 Timothy 2, remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, this is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene among them, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his." And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Just want to focus for a few moments on verse 19. It says this, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." Just want to say three things about that verse. And it's really in a context where we see all over the place, the gospel under attack. This verse is a bridge, really, between the verses ahead of it, before it, that is, which are about the false teaching that Jesus has risen from the dead already, another false teaching, false ways of living, ways that have not commended the gospel, but have really damaged the gospel. So it connects that idea of the false teaching that they're to turn away from, combined with the faithfulness of God, forward to that call to a holy life, one that's for noble purposes, one that's useful to the master, one that's fleeing the useful desires, the useful lusts, and so on. So it's a kind of bridge verse between those. Unfaithful teaching, a holy life that they're being called to. And I just want to say a few things about the church under attack. You see, the gospel's always under attack from some quarter or other, either by sin, by people turning away from obeying the gospel, or by false teaching. And because of that, it seems somehow fragile. You think, wow, there's all this false teaching going on. It was happening then and it's happening now. People have got all kinds of wrong ideas about who Jesus was and why he came and what his claims are and so on. And there's also people who sin. There are people who seem to be following Jesus, but they turn away from the truth. And it makes us wonder, is God really in control? Is God really in charge? There are internal problems in the church. There are disagreements. And there is the onslaught from the world. We talked about it a little bit this evening and prayed about it, that there is a world that is hostile to the gospel and either actively hostile or passively hostile to us as believers. And what do we need to know in that context? First of all, we need to know about God's solid foundation. God's solid foundation stands firm. We can easily become discouraged. We can easily feel fragile if we forget whose it is and what it is. Because as we face this next year, 2016, we have fears. But even if we're confident, what we need to know is not that we can be strong, but that he is strong. You see, to fear or to be overconfident is really both part of the same problem. We're not seeing God's solid foundation. You see, whose foundation is it? It's God's solid foundation, not your solid foundation. Your church is not a solid foundation. Your faith is not a solid foundation, but it stands on a solid foundation, God's solid foundation. You see, we're not reliant on our performance. We're not reliant on the performance of our church leaders. We're not reliant on the performance of our church building. We're not reliant on anything except for on God. That's where we stand. God's solid foundation stands firm. We're reliant, you see, on the performance of Christ, not the performance of us. We're reliant on the strength of God, not the strength of us. And God's solid foundation is never ruined, is never spoiled, is never damaged by failure inside the church or attacks from outside the church. Because Christ always has the victory. And that's our assurance. And as in a few moments, we're going to take communion together. We're going to take the bread and the wine. We remember that the victory is Christ. The reason it's a solid foundation is because it's built on the gospel, the message about Jesus Christ, descended from David, a human, risen from the dead. What does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus was victorious. That's why we got a solid foundation to stand on, because Jesus was victorious. So it's God's solid foundation. Stand firm on it. But then there's personal identification. The Lord knows those who are his. God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. Doesn't that help you this evening? The Lord knows you. He knows you. He knows who are his. And of course, that points in two directions. Of course, it points in the direction of false teachers to say he knows who's really his. We never quite know, do we? But he knows who's really his. Those who are claiming to be Christian, those false teachers that are mentioned here, who ultimately are not his. They don't really know the gospel. They don't really know Jesus. He knows that. He's not surprised or caught out by that. He knows that. But also, he knows in the sense that he knows you. He's in relationship with you. You who are in Christ, who are standing on this solid foundation, he knows you. You're safe. You're set apart. Maybe no one else seems to care for you, but he does. He knows those who are his. Those who are his are in relationship with him. They're precious to him. That's a great comfort to us here in Mid-Sussex. It's a great comfort those who are facing hardship across the country. That's a great comfort to those who are facing perhaps persecution and suffering in Syria or Iraq or Nigeria or other places that the Lord knows. Just think of that knowledge of God, of all those across the world. Just think about those living at the moment, let alone those who are not living anymore. Just think of his knowledge, intimate knowledge of you, and then and you multiply that by the number of believers. And you think the Lord knows all of those. He knows who are his. And that's our comfort in the year ahead. It's not our foundation. It's not our identity in what we do. It's that he knows us. That's why we can be confident in the year ahead. And of course, we remember that at the communion table, don't we? Because we remember the words of Jesus. This is my body given for you. Not just for people in general. Of course, he does give his body for his people and he dies for his people. But in that intimate moment at the Lord's table, that first Lord's Supper, he says, this is my body given for you. And that's what we remember. The Lord knows those who are his. And finally, there's a call to ongoing sanctification. The solid foundation is God and the gospel of Christ risen from the dead. The personal identification that is that he knows us, but the call is to sanctification. Everyone, says Paul to Timothy, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. It's obvious that if if we understand the gospel, if we're standing on the solid foundation of the gospel, if we know that we're in Christ and we know him and are known by him, we want to turn away from wickedness and be useful for the master. And as we come around the Lord's table in a few moments, there's an opportunity to say, I'm sorry. I want to turn away from wickedness. I'm one of yours. I'm known by you. I'm built on the solid foundation of the gospel, but I know I am a sinner, and I want to repent and return, and I want to turn away from wickedness in 2016. I want to be useful to you, Lord, in the year ahead. So as we come to the cross, as we come to remember the death of the Lord Jesus and the return of the Lord Jesus, let's see the certainty of the solid foundation built on the gospel of the sacrifice and victory of Christ. Let's see the personal identification that our name is engraved on his hands and in his heart. And let's see the call to continually repent and to turn away from wickedness.